Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a terrific Thursday. A lot of stuff going on as always. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I want to read a letter very quickly from a friend of mine in Texas. His name is Randy. He's out of Keller, Texas. And he basically said, he wanted to share this on the air. He says, everyone is starting to run out of fuel at the pumps. Some places have taken the pricing per gallon off the signs, also writing notes on the pumps saying that they're out of unleaded. It's still easy to find diesel fuel. However, several Walmarts, Kogers, and racetracks have run out, and many more are about dry. People have been on the social media talking about all kinds of stuff, from fuel shortages, how people are starting to panic. Everywhere I drove, there were empty pumps and people waiting to get gas. It's a huge problem for Texas because the gas trucks are having to come from different places in the U.S. Real fine job these criminals have created. Guys, this is what they're doing, and now they've shut off a major pipeline to the northeast, which supplies a lot of the fuel and aviation fuel up into the northeast and into the airports. So this thing's going to trickle down because it's going to be weeks and weeks before they get these refineries back online. These things are like giant mechanized machines that have to have certain chemicals in one end, certain temperatures, certain barometric pressure, certain humidity. All kinds of things have to be regulated in these huge refineries. And when they shut these things down, it's like turning off a furnace for firing pottery. You don't just turn it back on. It has to heat back up and get spooled back up. And it's going to be a bit before they get it cranked back up again, Austin. And now they're saying they're going to they're going to put 20 to 30,000 National Guard troops on the ground in Texas. Which, I mean, think about this for a second. I'm not saying this, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. But just think, if they really wanted to orchestrate some type of martial law in the United States, now that they've dialed in the weather terrorism, which is what this is, weather terrorism, now they know how to do all of this. Now there's another storm in the Atlantic heading towards Florida, which is special. It's supposed to be Category 4 or 5 when it gets here. If they really wanted to cripple the country, they could do it with weather warfare. They could own the weather. And if they did that, they could actually put everybody in the bunkers, nobody on the streets, and then basically dispense troops all over the place as soon as everything gets, you know, wet like it is in Houston, and completely control the situation pretty much without having to invade anybody else. They would use weather as what they call, this is their term, force multiplier. Because, guys, you can't launch stuff in really bad weather. If you've got a hurricane outside, and I've been in hurricanes, I've been in three of them 12 or 13 years ago here in Central Florida, and I was also in Hurricane Donna back in 1960. When you're in a hurricane, you don't want to walk outside. When the wind's blowing 100, 130, 140 miles an hour, there's all kinds of debris flying everywhere. Shingles are flying everywhere. Lawn furniture is flying everywhere. All kinds of garbage that you had outside that you thought was secure is flying everywhere. You know, and then you're getting hit with even straws at 140, 50 miles an hour can penetrate skin. And what ends up happening is you simply can't go outside. You've got to hunker down in an inside room, inside of a closet, inside of a safe room, and something you've built maybe perhaps that could, you know, handle all of this. You know, maybe an inside closet without any windows because the glass starts breaking, it starts flying. There's no way you're going outside and pulling a patrol and sitting up on a wall, Austin, and all of this, wondering if somebody's coming in to attack you. No way. Impossible.
No, you're absolutely right. It makes it very difficult, and that's what I mean. The U.S. military figured that out years ago, even back in Vietnam, when they played with a lot of this weather modification, is that it makes it very, very difficult to deploy troops. It makes it very difficult to deploy vehicles. It makes it very hard to deploy planes. All this stuff becomes very difficult when you have very, very aggressive weather going on. And what we've seen in Texas has been something just much larger than anybody expected, which makes me think with the timing of this is quite odd. Even with the plant too, the chemical plant, they had two massive explosions last night. 15 police officers were hospitalized. They said if left the plant without refrigeration for its organic peroxides, which are going to continue burning as the temperature rises, the company said there's 6 feet of water at the plant. They have lost critical refrigeration of all materials. Meanwhile, as well, 150 miles west of Houston, about 30,000 gallons of crude oil has spilled, and about 85,000 gallons of wastewater is spilled because the floodwaters toppled two oil storage tanks. So that's going to be another mess contributing to it, on top of the 350 gators and reptiles that got loose this week. Now also two East Texas residents are being warned that river levels could rise to 82 feet as the Army is forced to open reservoir floodgates. The entire city of Beaumont, which is almost 120,000 residents, is now completely without running water, and they are telling them essentially that they need to evacuate immediately. 82 feet is what they're thinking the rivers are going to come up to now. So this is pretty aggressive, and what you were just saying, that is the same thing I realized. The Pentagon said that there's up to 30,000 guardsmen now, as well as U.S. naval amphibious assault ships that are ready to come in, and they're probably going to need a lot of this. But what's also wild, too, is at the same time we're having this incredible catastrophe, you know, in the South, in Texas, and people are coming from all over the country. U.S. Defense Secretary Mattis announces today that he has now signed the order to send more troops into Afghanistan. And speaking at the conference, he confirms that they will be arriving in Afghanistan within the next few days. And he also said that they absolutely have no, they're not releasing how many troops that they're basically sending over there now. He said, I have signed the orders. It is not complete. In other words, I have signed the troops to go in, and we are identifying the specific ones. He did not mention any exact numbers or specific details whatsoever. In my opinion, instead of sending more troops into a basically third world sandbox to go guard poppy fields, why don't we do more help and humanitarian work in Texas right now and try and help those guys out instead of being so focused on sending more ground troops and more infantry into a country that we don't even need to be in, Dad. But I found that to be very, very ill-timed, or in the case of the globalists, it may be very, very efficiently timed, because hardly anybody knows about this right now, that he just signed the order to send more troops into Afghanistan, and he has not released the numbers or any specific details on how many troops or what type of equipment is going to be sent in, which I thought that was quite odd as well, especially what's going on everything stateside.
Remember, they don't ever want a good national emergency or a hurricane or anything to be wasted. They have to use this type of horrible, horrible scenario to cover up their own shenanigans. They have to get more troops in because the Taliban is coming in and burning poppy fields as soon as they get back in Afghanistan, and they've got to get more troops to go in there and make sure that doesn't happen. Every time you see a weather-manipulated scene like this, every time you see another hurricane coming towards us in the Atlantic, every single time you see garbage like this going on, they've got something up their sleeve that's bad. It's every single time. Remember, there was a giant hurricane right off the coast of New York on 9/11. Most of you aren't even aware of that. It was a huge, huge hurricane that they had moved out there to bring more energy into that area to pull off from their scalar-based weapon systems. Scalar-based weapon systems up-concentrate energy. I've done shows on how they do that with the scalar-based systems. And when they can get more energy into the atmosphere with a massive hurricane right off the coast of New York that nobody talked about, they can really energize their systems when they're using space-based weapon systems that have to receive energy from the planet. Now, guys, this is kind of technical, but what ends up happening is they can take the same scalar energy and they can direct it anywhere, when they can have it discharge anywhere, which is much more dangerous than atomic energy or nuclear blast. Like I told you guys earlier, they're not going to nuke the planet. They're not going to set off nukes. They're not going to set off atomic bombs or nuclear bombs or hydrogen bombs. It's not going to happen. They're not going to destroy their own infrastructure, but they may lay waste to entire regions with pinpoint accuracy with space-based systems. Remember, guys, Dr. Judy Wood did a book. It's called Where Did the Towers Go? And miles away from the tower, as they were dialing in their space-based systems, we had cars exploding into flames and tires catching on fire on cars miles away, where there was no impact whatsoever from the airplanes. This is what happened on 9/11. There were giant holes burned into the middles of the buildings. A lot of people say it was mini nukes. A lot of people say it was space-based systems. Some say it was nanothermite. Some say it's a combination of all of these. But guys, here's the thing. We all know we were lied to about 9/11. The problem is the internet for these guys was going to be used as a slave control device against us, and we've turned it into the new Gutenberg press, and we've actually come out now, and we're telling the people the truth about what's happening. They don't want the truth being out there. They've allowed gold to run up. It's about 1320 an ounce now. Why are they doing this? Why do they have another storm in the Atlantic? Why did this thing just hit Harvey? Why was the major pipeline shut off to New York? Why are they running out of fuel in Texas? Keep frosty right now. Don't trust these blankety, blankety, blankety people. Don't trust these people right now because they've got the United States distracted. And every time they distract us, they end up doing something to us, either sending more troops to Afghanistan or declaring martial law or a plethora of other things. Guys, I'm still not 100% in the Trump's campaign. I told you guys that. When he put in Gottlieb into the FDA, and he put all these Goldman Sachs boys into his cabinet, into his administration, I told you, the globalists are running Trump right now, and they're playing both sides against the middle. Now, whether he's trying to extricate himself from this, like I said, he's swimming in a giant swimming pool full of piranha and great white sharks, and he's trying to do what he knows to do as far as from a Christian standpoint, if he's truly a Christian, if he's truly born again, if he really is trying to do that, he's got himself into a giant mess. Because always remember something, he was the accidental president. He never expected to beat Hillary Clinton. This was taken away from her because she'd already hacked the systems right a week before the election. We've talked about that in detail. Now, let me give you a patent number. Look this up. I'm going to read it to you twice. Google patent, U.S. 20102246 96. Read it one more time to you. U.S. 20100224696. This is a patented system on control technology to move hurricanes and control them and intensify them. And I sent this to Dane Whittington, who's our expert on staff in this, and he says this is actually a very valid patent. He says there are even more direct and verifiable technologies being used to manipulate Harvey. I have a phone call in with him right now, and I'm basically telling him, look, what we need to do is we need to get you back on. When you've dialed in how they did this, you need to do it. And this patent starts off with weather management using space-based power systems, and it goes into detail in this patent exactly how they move storms and how they intensify storms and exactly what they can do when they want to do it to massively increase the strength of storms and all the things they have done that we have seen with Harvey. This technology is here. It is available. It is real. We just saw it in use. There's no way 52 inches of rain fell on Houston without being manipulated. There's no way that now we haven't had a storm since 2005, and now we have these two massive storms, one that just hit and another one in the Atlantic coming in. They're softening us up for something. Again, weather can be used as a force multiplier. So, guys, stay frosty. What do you think, Austin?
This is exactly what it is. It's a soft kill to begin with. It's exactly what you just described. And so they know if they are having something planned, if there is something in the works in the near future. Think about it, for instance, in South Texas right now. I mean, all those boys are armed. Pretty conservative state. I mean, they're all about constitutional rights. They're all pretty strong patriots. How difficult is it now to get into your safe, to get your ammo out in 10, 20, 30 feet of water? How difficult is it to do patrols while you're trying to wade around in minimum of waist-deep water? How difficult is it to try and get your food preps and your clean water filtration out and everything out of your house into storage ground while you're trying to evacuate your family and kids? This, in my opinion, was definitely not an accident whatsoever. This is something very, very significant that they planned. As Dad just said, we got this monster one coming for Florida now, so we're going to do the best we can to be ready for it, as we always do. But there's some very strange stuff coming right now, so be very, very aware of a lot of this. Also, too, this is an article I wanted to address about the Southern Poverty Law Center and how much hate and racial basically just racism they push all the time. But not just that, they've really gotten busted now this week on what they are actually involved in as far as transferring and funneling millions of dollars into offshore bank accounts And the Southern Poverty Law Center is basically a liberal Alabama-based 501c3 tax-exempt organization that's gained prominence as basically for its hate groups that it promotes. But now we're finding that it's pushed millions of dollars to offshore entities as part of its business dealings. Additionally, the nonprofit company pays lucrative six-figure salaries to almost everybody in the organization while spending hardly anything on legal services, despite its stated intent of fighting hate and bigotry. The Southern Poverty Law Center is perhaps known for its hate map, which is a collection of organizations the nonprofit deems as domestic hate groups that even list mainstream conservative organizations alongside racist groups such as the KKK. We've seen this in detail now, what CNN posted all the time repeatedly, and the SPLC has turned into a fundraising powerhouse, recording more than $50 million in contributions and over $328 million in net assets on its 2015 Form 990. They started doing the Freedom of Information Act. These guys started looking into it a couple years ago, and all these big red flags came up immediately. The first thing they saw back from 2014 was the SPLC list Tiger Global Management out of New York as an agent on its form. Well, they transferred right under $1 million at the end of 2014 into the private investment partnership that was located in the Caymans. Then they reported another $102,000 cash transfer at the end of December into Cayman X Limited. Then they sent $150,000 December 31st into another Cayman account. Beginning of March, they transferred $2.2 million in cash to AQR Managed Futures Offshore Fund, the entity located in Canada Bay, Cayman Islands. Then again, another almost $2.3 million cash transfer was made the same day to AQR-style Premia Offshore Fund, based out of the Cayman Islands. Tax experts are expressing confusion when they're digging into this now that they've showed. They went on to say, I've never known a U.S.-based nonprofit dealing in human rights and social services to have this many foreign bank accounts. I know of no legitimate reason for any U.S.-based nonprofit to put money in overseas unregulated bank accounts, much less this level of cash. It seems extremely unusual for a 501c3 concentrated trading on reducing poverty in the American South to have multiple bank accounts in tax haven nations transferring millions of dollars regularly. A nonprofit also pays lucrative salaries. The minimum amount paid to any officer, director, trustee, or key employee in 2015 was a minimum of $140,000 base salary. The group spent over $20 million on salaries just in 2015. The SPLC claims to boast a staff of 75 lawyers who practice in the area of children's rights, economic justice, immigrant justice, and criminal justice reform, yet they reported spending only $61,000 on legal services in 2015. Following recent violence in the Charlestonville, Virginia, the group raised a great deal of money. Apple CEO Tim Cook told his employees that the company donated $1 million to the SPLC and it would match any employee contributions 2-to-1. Cook also placed an SPLC donation button in the iTunes store. JP Morgan Chase, of course, donated another $500,000 to the group's work in tracking, exposing, and fighting hate groups. Why is the Southern Poverty Law Center doing this? It's simple. They want to vilify and isolate anyone that doesn't agree with their extremist leftist policy and ideology. It isn't about dissent defending civil rights. This is about attacking civil rights. They are an anti-conservative, anti-Christian hate group that the media has given pretend legitimacy to. Its assets are almost $400 million now and went up $13 million just in last year alone. So that's a brief synopsis, guys, on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Since nobody seems to know anything about them, I've had multiple people ask me about them because of how much exposure they've been getting through CNN as basically this awesome charitable organization that's helping out the community. That's the real SPLC. That's what they're involved in. And now we know exactly what they're doing with a lot of this money, and it's not spending it to help anybody. It's pushing their leftist globalist agenda, and I'm sure if you dig deep enough, you'll find a good deal of money that's been transactioned between George Soros or some of his companies that he uses between these guys as well. Way too much money going down to the Cayman Islands to have legitimate purposes down there, Deb.
You know, you've got to ask yourself a question now. There's several things I'm going to talk about here, this off and off topic on this. A lot of nonprofit ministries in the United States on TV, they claim to have orphanages in other countries, and they claim to want to feed all the people in Africa. And they're basically saying, send us money, and basically we're going to feed these people. Send us money, and we're going to build these orphanages. Now, what a lot of these guys do, a group of them will be approached by an orphanage in Africa. And that group will say, hey, you know, do you want to be part of our organization? And they'll say yes. And what they'll do is they'll make them part of that particular organization, and they will start wiring money from their basically nonprofit accounts into that organization offshore. What they do is they set them up in many cases in their own names and their own corporations in those other countries to funnel money offshore from their nonprofits. Now, let me tell you why that happens in many cases. Now, I'm not saying it happens every time, but sometimes. The nonprofits are regulated if they're done properly. And it's difficult to put money into a nonprofit, not pay taxes on it, and then take it back out in a big cash distribution. You're not allowed to do that. You have to take it out as a salary. So what ends up happening is they get overfilled with cash in these coffers, and they decide they're going to transfer it into other nonprofit companies or other nonprofit accounts in other countries where it is no longer regulated by the United States government. Now, you heard that correctly. Because once it leaves the United States, it goes into that shadow world of international banking, which may or may not be exposed if they start drawing money off or buying vacation homes in other countries, and you lose the scrutiny of the United States as far as watching that behavior. Now, there are some cases, like with Mark Rutland with Global Servants, and I promoted him repeatedly, that I support his ministry. He truly has orphanages in Thailand. He truly has churches in Africa. He truly does what he says he does do. He's a man of integrity. So if you have money that you want to give to somebody that you're not sure if the guy that you want to give it to is real or not, Mark Rutland, Global Servants, 100% who he says he is, a true man of God, and you can trust him. He's a good, good guy. He's a very, very good friend of mine. So, guys, it's very important when you start looking at these nonprofits wiring money offshore, especially like the Southern Poverty Law Center, hundreds to millions of dollars like this. What do they know that we don't know? These are communist organizations. What do they know? Are they fixing to wreck the U.S. economy? Are they fixing to crash the U.S. currency? Are they staying in U.S. dollars when they go into other bank accounts? Now, listen to me very closely. Are they staying in U.S. dollars when they go into other bank accounts? Because they don't have to do that. In the Caymans, you can invest in gold. You can actually buy physical gold there in Switzerland or whatever if you have a bank account, and you can have that money stored in a vault in a segregated account. So if the U.S. dollar collapses and you've got X amount of millions of dollars in gold, that gold is not affected by the collapse of the U.S. currency. So when I see large amounts of money from communist organizations, including the Rothschilds, who pretty much sold all their assets in the United States now, when I see it exiting the United States, it has to make me ask, what in the heck are they doing? Why are they letting us know they're doing this? Why is this being telegraphed? Now, guys, here's the thing. If they collapse the United States dollar, if it goes to yuck, I mean, that right now goes up at 1320. If they collapse the U.S. dollar, metals are going to hold their intrinsic value. Always remember that. So if you have the opportunity to buy gold or silver right now because it's still cheap, if you have that opportunity, I always recommend, personally, this is not giving you financial advice, talk to your financial planner. This is what I personally have done over the years. Keep about 10% of your assets, your core assets, in gold or silver. That's all you got to do. It doesn't have to be any more than that. And the reason for that is if all HE double sticks breaks loose and everything collapses, if you have 10%, it's going to go through the roof in value because the dollar is going to go through the floor in devaluation. So always remember that, guys. It's so important to ask questions of why the globals are doing this now, why is Rothschild pulling out of the markets now, Why in the world do we have all of this massive shortages of fuel and, you know, infrastructure right now in Houston? Why do we have another hurricane coming towards us? Because they're doing all of this stuff, because this is how they manipulate us and manipulate our psyches. And yes, it really is this corrupt. Yes, it really is this messed up. And yes, we need Jesus Christ on this planet back as quickly as we get here. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because the truth of the matter is this. These guys, all they're trying to do is bring in their new world order. They're trying to bring in their transhumanism. They're trying to get you hooked up with brain mesh or implants or chips or whatever. Now, guys, you're going to have to willingly take this stuff. They're not going to force this on you. Otherwise, they can't use it as the mark of the beast, as the book of Revelation says. I have a very big problem when we have Christian authors who are saying now on their blogs that it's okay for a Christian to take a microchip. It's okay for a Christian to get tattoos. It's okay for a Christian to basically be, you know, given brain mesh and put into their brain, that it's not going to affect anything concerning their salvation, when these guys have clearly not read the book of Revelation. Guys, please listen to me as the good Lord is my witness. This technology is of Lucifer. It is of the fallen angels. They're trying to interface you into this electronic control grid through these technologies to eventually get you interfaced with a D-Wave computer into Lucifer's dimension. That's what all of this is about. They've done it before the flood. They may have done it with Atlantis before that flood in the pre-Adamic civilization. We don't understand all the ancient history because they hide that from us and they don't want us to know. All I know is things have gone on this planet for a long time, including Antarctica right now, which is a no-fly zone. If you fly down there, they shoot you down, because they're trying to protect you from crashing, so they shoot you down so you don't fly into the area. I mean, it's absolutely nuts what's going on this planet now, and we've got to go back to the spiritual aspect of who and what we are and who we've been created in the image of. Remember, guys, this is one of the reasons they turn these opioids loose on us on the planet, because they want to drug us down. Yesterday we covered a story in which they want to now drug us so we'll accept, you know, illegal aliens coming to our countries and be able to integrate with all the Muslims that are coming into the United States. Guys, it's all about controlling the masses, and it's all about reducing the population of the planet. J. Edgar Griffin, and Need to Know, he came out with another article this week, and it says how one drug ignited an addiction epidemic that is killing 60,000 Americans per year. This is opioids again. Opioid drug addiction in the U.S. caused the death of 60,000 people in 2016. 2015, my brother-in-law died from this. Purdue Pharma, the maker of the painkiller OxyContin, is owned by the Sackler family. I'm sure there's some Rothschild boys. Worth an estimated $13 billion. Purdue has been accused of hooking the nation on opioids because it overstates how long the effects last and downplays its addictive quality. The Sacklers paid $635 million for false marketing of OxyContin in 2007. The three Purdue executives have pleaded guilty to criminal charges, but no one has served any prison time. Of course they haven't. According to medical professionals, Purdue Pharma collaborated with the National Hospital Accreditation Agency to change its pain management standards in such a way as to drive doctors to prescribe opioids. Purdue's profits from OxyContin topped $1.5 billion in 2001, a stratospheric rise compared to its 1996 earnings of $48 million. Guys, the national drug this national drug crisis, which is estimated to claim over 60,000 lives just in 2016, is expected to worsen this year. And one family-owned company, I'm sure it's a Sabatain Kambalos company, set the crisis in motion. President Donald Trump declared the opioid epidemic as a national emergency August 10th on the advice of White House Commission that pointed out, with approximately 142 Americans dying every day, America's enduring a death toll equal to September the 11th every 3 weeks. Purdue Pharma, the maker of the popular painkiller OxyContin, often faces the brunt of the blame. Guys, this is very important that you're aware of this and realize that these guys don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about anybody. All they care about, Austin, is greed and avarice. I said that on yesterday's show. And bringing in their kingdom of Lucifer, son. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And what they've done now, too, is now they're saying, oh, well, they go to the complete flip side of this now, and they're saying, well, we have to restrict the doctors on what they can do. I mean, just today now, officials are saying they're putting strict new limits on how many painkillers doctors in Ohio are allowed to prescribe now after a report released yesterday shows overdose deaths spiked in 2015. So what they're doing now, as they're saying, well, now the doctors are extremely basically handcuffed on this. You can't, you have to limit it to only a few pills with this, and you can't do more scripts than a couple times a year, blah, blah, blah. Well, the problem is, as we've already talked about, what they are bringing in now from heroin, from Afghanistan with the heroin, and from what they've been able to produce now, and a lot of the either underground labs or either the off-book labs in India and all these other ones that we've gone into detail in the last couple weeks, and they're bringing these generic pills in now, they don't have to prescribe them through the doctors anymore. They're using this as, basically a knee-jerk reaction, which I'm not saying it's necessarily all bad, because we don't need doctors going out and prescribing hundreds of opiates and hundreds of oxycontins and hundreds of morphines to a single patient at one time for no reason. But they're using it as a massive knee-jerk reaction to intentionally push people towards the black market pills, towards the black market heroin. Because you got to remember, a lot of times, most of these people can get these prescription pills on insurance. You know, they get a prescription for oxycodone or OxyContin, whatever you want to name the generic form of it. It doesn't cost them usually anything. If it does, it's a few dollars after their insurance pays for it. Well, when you buy this stuff on the street, most of these pills go anywhere up from $2, $3, $4, $5 for a pill, all the way from, I've heard in the research, when I worked in the methadone clinic, I was not in one for usage, I was in there working on it on clinical labs when I was in college, they said that 80 milligram OxyContins went on the street anywhere from $80 to $100 per pill. Now, I don't know if that's changed. That was years ago. They have gone up since then. But you have to realize that way it brings in more profits to the basically the black market sales, which brings in more profits essentially to the CIA and the black ops that are moving in a lot of these drugs and a lot of this heroin, and it brings all the drugs in underneath now instead of having to run them directly through the pharmaceutical industry. This is what they're trying to do now. They've figured out now that the general population knows there's an opiate problem. Doctors know there's an opiate problem. We've all addressed it. We all know there's an issue in the United States with that and worldwide. So now they're trying to say we're restricting all the doctors from prescribing these drugs because we don't want people to have them, when in turn they know good and well that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of shipments coming in every single year, in my opinion, in the United States with more generic pills and more heroin than has ever hit the market before in recent history, hence why we have this epidemic and we're restricting the doctors and the epidemic still growing. I promise you by next year, the epidemic will be even worse than it was last year, and they'll say, well, we don't know what to do. The doctors aren't prescribing this. We need to cut down harder on it. We need to make them more expensive now. We need to make them harder to get a hold of. We need to restrict them even more, which is going to further push the general population into the black market pills and heroin, and further increasing the profits of the black ops that the CIA and all these other underground globalist organizations are working so close with now, Dad.
Austin, I couldn't have said it any better. That was an incredible analogy and breakdown of exactly what's going on. What's your next story, bud?
Yeah, and also, too, this is pretty wild now over in Sweden. Of course, we've talked about this repeatedly now. Russia Today actually did multiple interviews now over in Sweden. They want to see what's really going on over there because they're saying the mainstream media is not talking about it. The Swedish government's not talking about it. The EU's not talking about it. And from multiple people now over there, eyewitnesses that did reports with Russia Today, they're saying that now there's Muslim youth gangs that are openly running around selling drugs and carrying guns in Swedish no-go zones, and the police refused to do anything about it. They went on to say the police have recently expanded their list of vulnerable areas, which I talked about a month ago, where crime and extremism are through the roof. Russia Today talked to locals and observers about the problem in these trouble areas that are known as no-go zones to the people that are actually open and honest about it and aren't politically correct. 61 neighborhoods now throughout the country were identified in the latest Swedish police report as vulnerable areas with 23 being categorized as particularly vulnerable. Notice how nicely they say that. They're particularly vulnerable areas. No, they're Muslim extremist no-go areas. You cannot go in there if you're an EMT police or basically not Muslim and not go in there without a standing military guard with MRAPs, body armor, machine guns in order to control the population in these areas. That's how bad they are. He started interviewing some of these people. And they basically said almost all the neighborhoods that are no-go zones are almost all either immigrant or foreign-born populations with a higher unemployment rate compared to anywhere else in Sweden. They said the neighborhoods are a total breeding ground for radicalization and Islamic extremism. They went on to say, they said, and this is what Jonas Christensen told Russia Today, who's a Danish TV editor, and I quote, he said, "The problem is the cultural difference and that these immigrants that come to Sweden do not want to integrate. And, or at least some of them do not want to integrate. We see this especially in many of the European countries where they have taken in large amounts of immigrants." He goes, "We don't see it in, for example, Poland or Hungary. But in Germany or in the country where I live, in Denmark, we have no-go zones. We see these people also in France, Belgium, Sweden, the government people. They don't want to admit that there's actually a problem. They don't want to mention these no-go zones as actual no-go zones." They went on to further say in here that basically the violence is getting worse and worse and worse, that the rape gangs and those have just gotten worse, but those are actually not even the worst of the problems now. They said car burnings, gang-related shootings, car bombings, which killed four people, including a four-year-old boy not too long ago, and another grenade attack that killed an eight-year-old boy, and multiple riots are common occurrences now in Sweden, yet the mainstream media is refusing to address any of this now, as literally Sweden is becoming burnt to the ground from these basically Muslim extremists that are in this country now, and nobody wants to talk about it, Dad.
I was in a restaurant last year. It was the Four Points Sheraton in Tallahassee after a Florida State game, and there were two guys that were here from Sweden in Tallahassee, and they had gone to the Florida State game the night before because they wanted to see an American college football game. And when I discussed this with them in detail, they looked at me like a calf at a new gate, and they said, "Oh, we have no problem. Don't believe any of this. Sweden is great." Okay? Great. I talked to a guy coming off the airplane from Greece last year, from Norway, a few weeks ago from Norway. He was from Norway. I was coming back from Greece, and I started discussing this with him. He goes, "How do you know about this?" And I said, "Well, we do an alternative news show." He goes, "You're exactly right. Norway is worse than Sweden. It's gotten so bad in Norway that the international community won't even talk about it or won't even discuss what's happening." Then when we were in Greece a few weeks ago, again, we spoke to one of the Uber drivers, and they were talking about how they had these groups, these tent cities set up outside of Athens, 50 kilometers outside of Athens, so the tourists wouldn't see them. And they were basically, you know, involved in prostitution of young boys, of young girls, and basically beheading people and killing people. And he said to me, he says, "Well, they tell us that we just need to welcome multiculturalism." That was his word. "Well, the people in Sweden are definitely embracing multiculturalism because they're refusing to acknowledge that it's happened. The problem is when you become part of the European Union and you start allowing these other countries out of Brussels to dictate your laws. I mean, 60% of the laws now that are going into England are coming out of the European Union, out of Brussels, and it's basically usurped the authority in the Constitution of the English monarchy because they're being taught basically now that they have to listen to what's going on in the EU. Guys, this is a massive, massive disaster. You can't have multiculturalism. I'm going to say it again. And this is why so many times I welcome the Hispanics into this country, because here's what I say. If you're coming over here legally and you want to work, I have no problem whatsoever you coming into the United States and working and helping us, because we really can use some people who can actually work, because a lot of the folks in this country now are doped up on drugs and they don't want to do real work anymore. And if you can do it legally, that's absolutely great, because the primary group of people that are coming in from South America are Catholic, which means they know about Jesus, they know about the Bible, they know about the New Testament, and they're not diametrically opposed. And I'm saying this again, diametrically opposed to Christianity. And see, that's the problem that we don't understand. When you start to mix these cultures together, they don't mix. It's like oil and water. All they do is fight each other. It's like two magnetic poles. They fight and push against each other until one side's going to dominate, especially when you have a militant religion like, you know, radical Islam that basically wants to come in and basically take control of everybody. This is the thing that's crazy to me. why the communists have linked up with the Islamic folks, and here's why. The communists are a lot of the groups that take the women with women's liberation, etc., for women's rights. The Muslims treat women like they're dogs. They have to walk behind them. We've seen it, Austin. They got to keep their faces covered. You can't talk. You can't get involved with the men. The men meet the Muslims. The women can't vote. I mean, all of this stuff. And yet they're embracing this as some type of fantasy world under Muslims rather than Christians. Why? Because they don't like white people and they don't like Christianity. And they really don't like white men. I told you a few weeks ago when I was up in that hotel at the seminar that I attended that the girl who was behind the counter who was cooking, I couldn't tell if she was a girl or a boy or a man or a woman. They told me she was a woman after I had complained about her to the management staff. And she basically, when I asked her if they cooked the eggs in butter, if they had real eggs, she looked at me like she was going to kill me to the point that she turned around and walked away and completely ignored me, acting as if she didn't even speak English. Why? Because she's one of those radical feminists. I could tell by the way she looked. And basically all white men are dogs in their eyes, something that needs to be basically eradicated. And then you think, well, it can't be that bad. Yes, for some of these feminists, they really do believe that. They hate alpha males. They hate men who are men. They want a bunch of little sissy boys that run around wearing tight jeans. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get carried away on that. I'm going to stop on that right now. But that's what they want. They don't understand what a real, true man is who loves Jesus Christ, who loves God, who loves his wife, who's willing to die for his wife, do anything for his wife, and willing to die for his faith. They don't get that because to them, that just is something that they can't simply understand because their mind is covered with a veil. We talked about this a few weeks ago, that they can't understand what the truth is, or they would turn and accept the truth. And it goes back to what Jesus said in the New Testament. Light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. Guys, men and women are different, contrary to what the globalists say. We are different from a DNA standpoint. We're different from an anatomy standpoint. But no matter what they say and how they lie to you and tell you we're the same, it's not true. We are not a sexual species, asexual meaning that we're the same sex. We are not that. They can't stand that, and for years and years and years, since the 60s now, this radical communist group has infiltrated these women that are weak-willed, and they're listening to this nonsense, and they're basically taking this teaching to heart, and they're believing this. It's simply not true. By the way, I'm starting on a health article here. High-dose vitamin C now has been shown, and it says may stop the progression of leukemia, a study reveals. This goes right back to the Gerson's therapy with cancer and leukemia back in the 20s and the 30s, who reported that when they gave intravenous vitamin C to leukemia patients, they had a very high response rate, and many of these people recovered. In fact, they said at Gerson's, they felt that leukemia in some cases was a subclinical scurvy diagnosis because the body had started to fall apart from a lack of vitamin C. Leukemia was the result, and the vitamin C corrected that. Now, you can redo your own research on that if you believe that or don't. Here's what the article says. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that leukemia, cancer of the blood and bone marrow claimed 23,000 lives in 2014 alone. Research is now showing that a six-month regimen of high dose of intravenous vitamin C slowed the progression of leukemia by stopping leukemic cells from multiplying. The study builds up on other research that demonstrates vitamin C's potential to inhibit and even kill cancer cells without harming healthy tissue. And again, it turns into hydrogen peroxide in your system, causes massive oxygenization of the tissue, and cancer cannot live in the presence of high oxygen. Cancer is anaerobic. It cannot live in oxygen. It's a type of fungus. It has to be without oxygen. So guys, you really have to understand something. Cancer is something that you've got to think about, you know, on how to avoid rather than trying to cure. The body has to be in a very torn down state to come down with cancer and not get rid of it itself simply because the immune system has been compromised. So guys, stay on our healthy immune system protocol. We have it available at healthmasters.com. I take the products every day. Except for the astragalus, I don't take it every day. I only take that if I ever start getting a sore throat, then I load up on the astragalus. It's not necessary if you're healthy to take the astragalus every single day, but you need to take the C, the D3, the K2, you need to take the potassium iodine every single day along with the black seed oil, Austin. Anything you want to add to that?
That's very, very good synopsis on that. I mean, we get that question a lot with a lot of people that have compromised immune systems and so forth. And as Dad said, it's usually something that takes some time. You know, if you take care of your body, you give it proper nutrients, you know, you exercise, you eat clean, your body will do wonders as far as helping to repair and fix itself. So, I mean, if you have an issue like that and your body has been compromised, you have to continually stay on that protocol for an extended period of time. That's why we have the Immune Survival Kit on the website, where we put together key products that we've designed, you know, for a kit for people to use to really jumpstart the immune system and get it rolling again. Because there's so many outside elements that are constantly being shot at as far as our bodies that really tear it down. Also, too, another story I wanted to address right here, because this seems to be a never-ending debate, and I think it will not end because there's so much negative publicity the mainstream media is trying to depict towards vaccine deniers now is what they're calling us. There was a, according to statistics of the CDC, more than 10 million vaccines, which many of them contain aluminum, are given to infants every year. That hence why nearly $3.6 billion has been awarded to children and parents for vaccines with the Vaccine Information Center. The thing you guys have to understand is you got to do your research on these vaccines. Lana was on Facebook the other day, and one of her friends basically posted on there that she went to her two-month-old pediatrician checkup, and the doctor was ready to give her, like, three vaccines. And the girl basically flipped out. She's like, no, absolutely not. You're not going to give my two-month-old vaccines. Her immune system isn't even developed right now. It can't even develop right now. She's breastfeeding. This is nonsense. And the pediatrician essentially threw her out, said, I'm no longer going to see you anymore. You can file your insurance with somebody else. I'm not going to see you. You're basically a vaccine denier, and I want to have nothing to do with you. Was that curt with her? So the girl went on Facebook and basically posted it on there and said, hey, I want to know what you guys think about this. I just basically had a huge run-in with my pediatrician. I dumped them. I'm not going to them anymore. I don't agree with this. I have no idea why you would start giving a two-month-old multiple vaccines, especially ones that contain aluminum. And so, you know, there was a huge debate. Lana showed me some of the responses, and about, it was about half and half. About half of them were like, never vaccinate, you need to do your research on it, they all contain aluminum, they're a neurotoxin, blah, blah, blah. Then other ones were like, no, it makes your child healthy, it keeps them from getting sick, which is complete and total nonsense. I've never even seen any research that shows that. And what you guys got to realize, even according to the current medical chemistry, it was, this is where it was studied in here, children up to 6 months of age who receive all their vaccines receive anywhere between 15 to 49 times more aluminum from vaccines than the U.S. FDA safety limits even allow. Up to 50 times almost more aluminum than the FDA safely limits allow on their restrictions as far as how much a six-month-old can be exposed to aluminum. 50 times with a lot of these vaccines, guys. This is not an accident. If anybody researched this and looked into this and you start saying, well, if you give your child the full vaccination of all the scheduled shots by the time they're 6 months old, they're going to have almost 50 times the amount of aluminum injected into their body than the FDA even allows in normal exposure through water or food. Guys, remember, when you're getting vaccinated, you're not taking an oral droplet, you're not taking a pill, or you're not drinking water with aluminum in it that your body's basically trying to process and filter out through the kidneys and eliminate. You're injecting it right into the muscle tissue, right through the skin, right into the bloodstream, essentially, and the body has to sit there and try and process all this, and it can't filter it out. The serious, serious disorders that we've seen now with aluminum include autoimmunity, long-term brain inflammation, serious neurological complications. All this stuff is a big, big problem that nobody's wanting to address, and they want to sit there and call you a vaccine denier now because you simply say, well, I'm not sure about this. Do I really need to vaccinate? Should I really be doing this? I really need to do my research. Oh, you're a vaccine denier. I don't want to speak to you. You're so ignorant. Don't ever come in my office again. You're a moron. Leave now. This is what they've done now to the population. So they really intentionally try to speak down to you and make you feel like you're a moron. If you ask a question, well, is what you're injecting into my child right now really safe? Do I really need to have 7 vaccinations injected into them at 6 months of age? Do they really need another dozen vaccinations by the time they're a year and add on more by the time they're 2 years? Is this really all necessary? This is the agenda they're promoting now. They're pushing on the mainstream media on a regular basis. The news on TV constantly brings it up. There's billboards now. I talked to you guys a couple months ago. Basically had a photo of a little child, and it said, no vaccines, no kisses. And then it had a website on there basically talking about vaccine deniers they want you to go to basically discuss that if you know a child that hasn't been vaccinated, you don't need to basically touch them. They're basically, you know, lepers. They just need to be pushed away and isolated. You have nothing to do with them. This is what they're trying to do now, to forcibly make the population submit and to taking all these incredibly dangerous and toxic vaccinations. But I want to address that again because I feel like this is probably something that comes up in my life almost on a daily basis with who I am and what I do, and with my child not being vaccinated, nor will my second child be vaccinated. I run into this on a daily basis, so I want to give you guys hope that are not vaccinating. This is not abnormal. They are attacking all of us. This is something we're all going to have to deal with, but we have to stay strong and we have to remain firm on this. We cannot submit to these unbelievably satanic globalist pharmaceutical and vaccine corporations that want to push this on us, guys. So that's kind of my little rant for today on vaccines, but I wanted to bring it up again because I get sick of hearing this every day, so I just wanted to address it, Deb.
Okay. Years ago, my mom was put into the hospital, and she'd broken her toe, and she fell. She was like 85 years old when she fell and broke her toe. And she was hospitalized, and they scheduled her for a CAT scan, and they were going to check her body, make sure she didn't have cancer, because sometimes you have cancer in one part of the body and it can metastasize in a different part, causing something like a bone break. And what you would call that would be called a lytic lesion. And so I'm in the hospital, and on my going to the hospital, my mom's completely mentally acute. She's totally just wide awake. As she says to me, she's in there crying. She goes, "The doctor just came in and told me I have cancer." Now, she'd always been terrified of cancer her whole life. This is Austin's oma. And I looked at her and I said, "How do they say you have cancer?" He said, "Because my toe got broken, I have cancer." And so I said, "What's his name?" So she told me his name. So I went out in the hallway and I asked the nurse, I said, "Bring Dr. Gizmo," I don't remember his name anymore. I said, "Bring Dr. Gizmo over here to talk to me." So Dr. Gizmo walks over to me. I said, "Hey, Dr. Gizmo, I got a question. Why do you say my mom has cancer?" And she goes, "Well, she has what's called a lytic lesion. She probably has lung cancer from the smoking she's been doing, and it's metastasized in her foot, and it's caused her bone to break." And I said, "Have you done testing on the cancer to see if she has cancer?" "No." "Have you done a CAT scan?" "No." "Have you done MRI?" "No." I said, "So you don't have any idea she has cancer?" She goes, "No, I have a very good idea because I'm a doctor." And I looked at him. I said, "Dude, I'm a doctor too." I said, "Newsflash for you. I think you're wrong. I don't think it's a lytic lesion. I think she has an osteoporotic fracture. If you'd ask her, she's drunk sodas her whole life. I've tried to get her to stop. And she's probably had the acid in the soda has probably leached calcium out of her bones, which caused her toe to break when she was walking on it. And she doesn't have a lytic lesion because we don't have really any cancer in our family at all." And he goes, "Well, I think it's cancer." I said, "I don't think it's cancer. And you just scared the crap out of my 85-year-old mom." And I said, "Here's how this is going to work. If I find out she doesn't have cancer and you told her this," I said, "you better not see me in the hallway again, or we're going to have a more, how should I say, spirited debate about what you did. Do you understand? You can't talk to me like that." I said, "I'll talk to you any way I want to talk to you, because I tell you what, you're no smarter than me, you're no better than me, and you're no more well-versed in this topic than I am, and you can't run around telling 85-year-old women they've got cancer when you've not tested it." And sure enough, it came back a week later. No cancer anywhere in her body, and Dr. Gizmo was nowhere to be found. Yet, though I requested his presence repeatedly, Dr. Gizmo never saw me again. I'm sure that was per his request. Now, guys, here's why I'm telling you this. If a person is a mechanic and they build cars, they're incredibly smart. I can't build a car. If a person is a stucco man and they know how to wire lath a building, put on corner bead and mix the mud at the right texture to stucco a building, they're incredibly smart. I don't have the ability to do that. Now, here's why I'm saying all of these things. God's no respecter of persons. Don't let these guys, because they say they're a medical doctor, mess with your head. Because quite frankly, once you have them try to do your profession for a bit, they won't be able to do that either. What we've been taught to believe by the Rockefeller Medical Complex for the past 100 years is these guys are God. I got a newsflash for you. They are not God. And a lot of these guys cause more harm than they cause good because all they're in medicine for is the doggone money. And I was with a bunch of them in the classes that I took at Florida State University. They're a bunch of greedy people who know how to memorize stuff and do well on their MCATs and get through medical school. And a vast majority of them, 80%, are in it only for one reason, for the money. Now, there's 20% of the medical doctors out there that are God-fearing, good people. They don't claim to know everything, and they want to truly help people, and that's why they went into medicine. That other 80% suck. Excuse my language. They're awful. And they'll tell you something's wrong with you in some cases just to do surgery on you just to get the surgery fee. It's been shown over and over and over that doctors, sometimes cardiologists and doctors, cardiovascular bypass surgeons, will tell you you need surgery so they can get their fees and get their money. They will tell you that you need chemotherapy even if you don't even have cancer just to get their money. It happens all the time. That's why I'm going to say to you again, get a second, get a third, get a fourth, get a fifth opinion and make your own decision on these guys, because these guys are completely blinded by greed. When these pediatricians vaccinate 100 kids, they get a $40,000 bonus from Blue Cross Blue Shield. They do 100, 200 children, they get an $80,000 bonus. Guys, there's something really, really wrong. Always remember this, guys. This is so important, these vaccinations. Pandemics, when they start having these massive flu outbreaks and all these different things, will be the final phase to implement massive vaccine experimentation. Why? Because during a pandemic, everybody will be vaccinated, probably, with chipped vaccines. And we'll be getting injected with chips, microchips. Now they've got them so small they go down right inside of cells. And guess what, guys? It'll be to control the population. There's no other reasons to be mandating and pushing for totally toxic hazmat materials to be injected into babies, infants, toddlers, teens, adults, and senior citizens with all of this aluminum and all of this mercury they're injecting into us. No reason at all whatsoever. And I'm on a rant. Guys, I'm going to let Austin close. We're almost out of time. God bless you guys. Thanks for getting your supplements from us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us. You guys are absolutely awesome. I appreciate you so much. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and close, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, if you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. Or check out the website at healthmasters.com for all your health supplement needs, healthmasters.com. And be sure to check out the product of the week that's on sale right now, our very popular magnesium brain food. That's one of our newer products that we released last year. It's got multiple different forms of magnesium in it, and very, very good. Also, it can actually go through the blood-brain barrier, and helps out with sleep, too. I've noticed that I usually take a scoop of it with my Fit Food Shake before I go to bed. Definitely helps me sleep a little bit better, so be sure to check that out, and the other products that you can vote on for product of the week. You guys, be safe, be strong, be ready for anything. You guys have a blessed, safe night. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.